May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. John's gospel is truly different. It omits so many things that the other gospels include. For example, it has no account of Jesus' birth or his temptation. It tells us nothing about the Last Supper or the Ascension. There are no words about healing people from evil spirits. And perhaps most surprising of all, it has none of the parable stories of Jesus. Yet the plain fact is that even if John omits much the other gospel writers tell us about, he also tells us much about other things they do not mention at all. John alone tells us of the raising of Lazarus, of the way in which Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and about the wedding feast in Cana, which we heard in our gospel reading today. And we find that again and again, John mentions these specific little extra details. For instance, he tells us that the disciples had rowed about 3 to 6 miles as they were crossing the lake in the storm. John alone remembers how the perfume of the ointment filled the house as the woman anointed Jesus in Bethany. Only John seems to remember that there were exactly 4 soldiers gambling for Jesus' robe as he was dying. And again, it is only John who knows the exact weight of the myrrh and the aloes which were used to anoint the dead body of Jesus. So really, John's gospel reads like the memories of one who was truly there, or perhaps like the memories of one who was truly changed. In fact, John had undergone an amazing transformation in his life. When Jesus met John for the very first time, he gave him a nickname. He nicknamed him Son of Thunder. This nickname had presumably to do with John's very nature. After all, John often revealed a fervency and anger that could be called thunderous, like that instance when John wanted to call down fire from heaven to kill and destroy people just because they had refused to give accommodation to Jesus. But somehow, John's attitude changed over the course of time. And his initial nickname, Son of Thunder, was forgotten. He earned a new nickname, and he was known to be the Apostle of Love for his promotion of outgoing love as a godly attribute. What power has brought forth this tremendous change in John's life? What was it about Jesus that compelled John to pivot like that? The Gospel of John, which was written roughly 70 years after Jesus' death, gives us a glimpse of the events which left a lasting impression on John's heart. One of those events is the wedding feast at Cana, which we heard about today. John details out for us how Jesus performed his very first miracle. The setting of the scene is actually quite simple. It's a wedding in a village in rural Palestine. A wedding was a notable occasion, and traditionally, the festivities lasted for several days. Mary, Jesus' mother, held a very special place at this particular wedding feast. She must have had something to do with the arrangements because she had the authority to give orders to the servants. Suddenly, she noticed that the wine had run out. A failure of provisions was a real problem. As you might know, hospitality is a sacred duty in the Middle East. It would have been a terrible humiliation and disgrace for the bride and the bridegroom to start off their life like this. They were likely to become the laughingstock of the entire village for years to come. Instinctively, Mary turned to Jesus. She knew her son. After all, she had witnessed him and lived with him for 33 years. And that gave her a unique glimpse of the capacity and the heart of Jesus. Yet Jesus' response to her request sounds rather disheartening, isn't it? "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?" he says. This was a common phrase, though. Gently spoken, it indicated misunderstanding. In other words, Jesus was saying, "Mother, you don't quite understand what is going on. Leave things to me." It looked like Jesus had refused her request. Yet Mary still believed in him so much that she tells the serving folk to do whatever he tells them. When you think about it, Mary's response is quite amazing, isn't it? Unlike most mothers, and I readily admit that I might not be an exception here, Mary did not push her son to conform to her ways. She truly left the matter to Jesus, quite sure that he would do the right thing at the right time. Such a faith, trusting when there seems to be no logic, waiting when there seems to be no time, is an invaluable treasure, especially during periods of darkness. A bit later on, we see that Jesus commands the servants to fill the water jars to the brim. The water jars were so full of water that surely nothing else could be added to it. The wine then is brought to the chief steward, and amazingly, the water is turned into wine. A wonderful transformation happened, and it's evident that this is a miracle. But what exactly is the significance of this miracle? Well, to understand that, we need to come back to John. When John recollected his memories, he intended not just to reveal to us who Jesus is, but also what Jesus' character was like. And his point seems to be that nearly anyone can do a big thing on a great occasion, but that it takes Jesus to do a big thing on a simple, homely occasion. It was at a village girl's wedding that Jesus was revealed as the Son of God. It was in very humble circumstances that Jesus first showed his glory, and the disciples caught a dazzling glimpse of who Jesus really was. Jesus didn't reveal himself to the people around him on a great stage or a grand setting. His intention was pure. He wanted to save a humble family from hurt. And it was in sympathy, in kindness, and understanding for ordinary people that Jesus performed his first miracle. It is just by such deeds of understanding and simple kindness that we too can show that we are true followers of Christ. John, the man who had been nicknamed the Son of Thunder, might not have understood the significance of and meaning of what he saw at the time of the event, but now, 70 years later on, John, the apostle of love, seemed to be sure what this miracle must have meant. For 70 years, John had thought and meditated and remembered what life with Jesus was like and what all this truly meant. And I think that if he were here today, he would come to the conclusion that wherever Jesus went and whenever he touched a life, it felt like he was turning water into wine. After all, isn't this the transformation which happened in John's own life? A man of anger was changed into a man of love. Someone who is most unlikely to ever change still is transformed through the power of Christ. Like the chief steward, people must have seen the true change in John's life, and they must have exclaimed, they must have said that Jesus truly has kept the best for the last and brought forth a quality which was not there before. So let us pray then that we too become true followers of Christ who experience such a huge transformation in life, which will be like the miracle of turning water into wine. Amen.